Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident dum-dum Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. He's the owner of a lonely heart, but hey, it's much better than being the owner of a broken heart. It's Micah.
Oh, that's a song.
It's like, of a lonely heart.
Yeah. Who sings that?
I don't know. The Police, maybe?
Tom Petty?
I was thinking Tom Petty.
Thinking Tom Petty.
Yeah, I was thinking Tom Petty,
All
too.
All right, let's Google it.
Yeah, that's a solid song.
Yeah.
That's a solid song. I'm kind of surprised, Thor, that you didn't pick, I don't know, like an old gospel hymn for this one. You could have looked up some classic Jesus music. Like,
oh, that's Yes, that does Owner of a Lonely Heart.
Really?
Yes? Yeah. They're not real.
Well, fuck you, dude. Roundabout the shit, dude.
Yeah. So, Thor, we have a guest today.
We do. So, our buddy Carl is joining us. And this is a little bit different for us because Carl has... The movie we're reviewing, Carl has not seen.
Nope.
He just was hanging out with you and I was like, do you want to do the podcast? And you're like, sure, Carl will join us.
Yeah.
Turns out he has not seen this movie.
Nope.
Yeah. Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Welcome,
so,
Carl.
Yeah,
and,
thanks for being here.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate being on.
First time we've had a guest that has not seen or experienced what we're going over. And
I think that Dan Barton on one of our episodes, didn't know.
The Christmas episode.
Yeah, I don't think that he watched Jingle All the Way.
That's right. But he had seen it when he was
a kid. Yes, he had seen it when he was a kid. Was that the same one where we talked about the Star Wars holiday special?
Yep, yeah.
Carl, have you seen that?
No.
It's really
no,
bad.
No, I've seen bits and pieces, like through documentaries and stuff. I've seen like clips. They're like, can you believe this thing exists sort of thing?
Yeah.
But I've never actually sat down and watched the actual film.
Yeah.
We should watch it this year. Just make it a holiday tradition. Every year we
know if I want to
get
do
drunk
that.
And watch the holiday.
No, I
Star
would.
Wars
I would.
Special.
I'd be totally down for getting drunk and watching a stupid Christmas movie that shouldn't exist.
It's very bad.
It's really bad. The thing is, you think it's
Jefferson
a Christmas movie.
Starship does a music video in the middle of it.
Are you serious? Now I want to see it.
But you think it's about
you
Christmas?
Think you want to see it?
It's not about Christmas.
No, because my understanding is that it's about a similar holiday that doesn't exist for us or something.
Yeah, it's called Life Day. I'm pretty sure is what it is.
Yep, it's Life Day.
Oh my gosh, what a horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah, it's a Christmas analog and
it's not great.
It's cool.
It's not great. Mark Hamill looks like he's on some things.
Carrie Fisher.
I think her too.
Yeah, but she
definitely
was
Carrie.
On some
definitely
things.
Carrie Fisher. She was in the throes of like cocaine addiction during the filming of that movie.
Yeah, Mark Hamill looks like he came off the set of the Flash TV show dressed up as the Trickster, because I'm pretty sure that he played the Trickster in that show.
Nice.
Yeah, he looks weird. I don't know. Maybe it's right after his accident. Maybe I shouldn't say he looks weird. In that case,
I think it's still fair to say.
He had a really bad, I think, automobile accident in between episode 4 and episode 5.
Ooh.
Which is why his face looks a little different. Yeah.
I think it's still okay to say that he looks weird.
Yeah.
You're just acknowledging the fact that dude went through some shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't care if I offend Mark Hamill. Whatever, Mark Hamill.
Yeah,
I love you. You're the Joker. Fuck you.
He's going to keep counting his money and say, Michael, who?
Yeah, exactly, right? I'm not a blip on his radar. No. But
you know what, Mark Hamill, if you're listening, and we know that you are.
We know that you are. Give us
your
a recommendation.
Face looks give us a recommendation. Also, your face looks weird.
Yeah.
And we don't care how you feel about it.
Yeah, that's...
We really stuck it to him.
Yeah, take that, Mark Hamill.
Got him.
And your millions. And your space milk. Anyway, we're not talking about Mark Hamill. We're going to be getting into a movie called The Lady Killers today. Thor, are we ready to jump into this?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, folks. Make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks. So today, keep it in, Thor. I don't care.
Okay.
Keep it in. Today, folks, we're going to be talking about The Lady Killers, specifically the 2004 film The Lady Killers. When I recommended this to you last week, Thor, I was not aware that this was essentially a remake.
And I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, so there was evidently a Lady Killers movie in 1955, somewhere in that range. And also on the Wikipedia article, it says not to be confused with the Bollywood film The Lady Killer, which is done in 2023. So The Lady Killers is a 2004 American black comedy crime thriller that is written, directed, and produced by the Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen.
Oh, that has to be amazing.
Oh, it's so much fun. Yeah. So if you're a Coen brother fan, you will enjoy this one. Except maybe if the only Coen brother film that you liked was, I think it was called A Serious Man. That movie was okay, but the rest of the Coen brother films are fantastic.
The Coen brothers did fucking The Odyssey. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you like this one, I feel like is in closest in tone probably to that compared to some of their other films.
Sure. They've also done Fargo, Burn After Reading, Miller's Crossing, Barton Fink, and a multitude of others. But those are some peaks.
I like the more over the top campy stuff, like the Oh Brother Where Art Thou, than the, well, Fargo was a little bit campy, but it's not sure. Over the top.
Yeah, and it's kind of set in a like really dark,
yeah,
circumstances. This is certainly, I think, closer to Oh Brother Where Art Thou, where it's kind of like this comical premise. So Carl, since you haven't seen it,
Make me want to go home and watch this movie.
So let me tell you the premise of this movie.
All right.
So it basically opens, it's this old black lady in her probably like 80s, somewhere in Mississippi.
Ladies, okay. 80s or 70s.
And she,
her name is Marva Munson, by the way. That's the little old black lady.
Marva Munson.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gets a knock on her door, and it's this old, like, it feels like he came out of the 1800s. Tom Hanks, like in a Sears slicker suit, like a southern,
I love
like,
this already.
Southern gentleman. And he's like, well, hello, me and my band. I have a band, a small orchestral band, and we would like to practice in your house. And he goes down into her basement. He's like, the acoustics in here are perfect. And he talks like he's a very scholarly man. He's always talking to her about how the colleges he went to and how learned he is.
Oh, he's a con man, isn't he? He's a con man.
Yep. So, and what his actual purpose, and actually, hold on, before we get to that. So he knocks on the door, and can I tell you the funniest shit? Nothing to do with the movie. Okay. Me and Kendra are watching this, and he pops up and knocks on the door, and she goes, oh, wow, is that the Castaway?
The Castaway?
I swear to God.
The Castaway.
I love my wife, but like...
That's what she pulled.
She pulled Castaway, and also she couldn't remember Tom Hanks' name.
I get that. Like, I'm not great with names. I fumble over them. I'm not gonna punish her for that one.
Tom Hanks, though, is kind of a big name.
It is one of the biggest. Still, Castaway is what she pulled.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like Tom Cruise, George Clooney, Tom Hanks, Brad Pitt. Those are kind of like the upper echelon of actors.
And if they need saved, it's probably Matt Damon, right?
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so she just refers to Tom Hanks as the castaway.
In that moment, she was like, is that the Castaway? I'm like, yeah, it's the Castaway.
Yeah.
Which I love that movie. I think it's great.
It's pretty good. I don't know. With Tom Hanks, I feel like I like his stuff, but I never want to admit that I like Tom Hanks. Why? I don't know. Maybe it's because he's so beloved.
Okay.
That I just want to go like, you know what, Tom Hanks?
You know what?
You don't get my heart.
It's that hipster part of you.
There is a little bit of that.
That's what it is. Everyone else loves him, so I can't. Yeah, I just can't.
And I feel like I've gotten better with that type of stuff since I've gotten older, but I don't think I've quite become, I don't know, willing to let go of that yet.
There's everyone has that one thing.
Yeah. Like, I'll give you Brad Pitt. All right. I love Brad Pitt. Sure. Too. Sure. I'm in that. Yeah. I'm in that camp fully now. But I don't know about Tom Hanks. I just don't know. I don't know. Yeah. So this film basically is this little old black lady who is a devout religious lady.
Mm-hmm.
Gets visited.
Much.
She loves nothing more than the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And any chance that she gets to talk about the Lord, 100% she does. Or the Bible. All right?
Wait, is she in a choir?
No, but she goes to church religiously, and she loves the choir.
Well, how do you go to church not religiously?
No. Okay, so I'm using the term religiously. I'm using the term religiously, not in the religious context. I'm using it as, which is funny.
She
because
practices her religion religiously.
She's very devout. Yes. Yeah. So she practices her religion religiously. All right. As if to say that somebody does something non-religious religiously to illustrate the point that they do it all the time and very devout in that practice.
No, I got
But I am using the term that she is practicing her religion all the time and is very devout. Therefore, she is religiously religious.
It couldn't be more clear. It could not be more clear.
I don't understand.
I described it very succinctly.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah. In fact, I bet you if you pulled up the Oxford Dictionary, that you probably, word for word, it's verbatim.
100%.
Yeah.
I had a conversation with ChatGPT about it, and that's that's
well, ChatGPT said it. I can't.
Yeah.
There's no argument there.
Yeah. So this little old lady gets visited by Tom Hanks because she has a room to let. And he goes into the basement. And upon going into the basement, he realizes that a whole side of her basement is just dirt.
Oh.
It's got the little chicken wire fish. Fish there, or chicken wire netting.
So it's a real old school house.
Yeah. And he's like, no, this is perfect. This is perfect. I'm in a band. We play a lot of music, and this is great for acoustics.
And he's doing these, so he's like, the acoustics are incredible. Yeah, it's perfect. It's incredible. Just fully bullshitting this lady. And then, so he brings in his group. He gathers this group. You know, it's a little bit of a heist movie, but it kind of has
assembled his team.
Kind of has that element. So, and get this cast. Okay, so
the casting is fantastic.
Marlon Wayans plays Gawain McSam, who's the inside man. Because essentially, Mrs. Hippie, it's illegal to gamble unless you're on the river. You can gamble on a riverboat.
Oh, the riverboat.
So
casinos.
Her house is right next to the river.
Okay.
So they're going to tunnel underneath, and there's like a underground lockbox right on the dock, like an underground room where all the money goes to from the casino.
Yeah.
So they're going to tunnel into it, steal the money, and then just disappear. Nobody's going to know what happened to the money.
Okay.
So Marlon Wayans, he's the inside man. He is playing the most over-the-top, like, stereotypical 90s black guy character.
Love that.
Like, only Marlon Wayans can play.
Yes.
Has the full big gold chain with a dollar sign on it. Perfect.
We went right back to In Living Color.
Okay. J.K. Simmons plays...
I don't know him.
Garth Pancake. Yes, you do. J. Jonah Jameson.
Okay. Yep. Got it. All right. Thanks.
And he plays... I love him in this role. He plays such a sweet boy.
Sure.
He plays such a sweet boy in this role. But he's like the demolitions expert.
Expert.
You get Zima.
I don't know him from anything other than this movie.
I recognize him from something. You'd know him if you saw him.
Rush Hour.
He was in Arrival, The Quiet American. Okay. Here, let me pull up his picture. Let me see if you recognize this guy, Carl. But he's
I can honestly say I've never seen that man before in my life.
Okay, well, he's an old Asian guy.
Okay.
And he only says a couple of lines throughout the whole movie, and he's always just smoking, and he's kind of like the other, like, professional type guy. And then you get Ryan Hurst. Is that his name? Something Hurst. Ryan Hurst plays Lump Hudson, who is like a former football player. And once again, just kind of like an over-the-top, just dumb brute.
Okay.
He's just like, I don't know, boss. I'll smash things. That's kind of his whole vibe.
He wants to go pet the rabbits.
Yeah, but he's got a very breathy voice. And
okay.
So,
Professor, couldn't we just bribe the guy?
Like, yeah. Like, okay. And yeah. So Ryan Hurst is, if you've seen Remember the Titans,
yeah,
which everybody has seen Remember the Titans,
yeah,
it's the white lineman who ends up getting paralyzed.
Okay.
So that's Ryan Hurst. So this movie is like if his character, if that Remember the Titans character,
yeah,
had a brain injury rather than a spinal injury.
Huh.
And he's just, he's dopey from the Seven Dwarfs.
Gotcha.
But he's the muscle.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, with no intelligence at all. Those are probably the main, that's the main ensemble of, yes, of the ragtag crew. So Marlon Wayans plays the inside man. He's a janitor at the casino.
Okay.
So he's the way that they can get in and access to it. The general is basically the, I guess you could call him the second in command, maybe. He's the dangerous guy who gets shit done, doesn't really talk. J.K. Simmons is their jack of all trades. Basically, I think that he's even referred to as a master of none.
Mm.
So he's, in this case, their demolitions expert. And then Tom Hanks is kind of the mastermind running the whole thing. And Tom Hanks' character is Professor G.H. Dorr.
G.H. Dorr.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the gist of the movie.
Okay.
Now, it's a Coen Brother film.
So hijinks are going to ensue.
100%, because yes, it's a Coen Brother film. But I feel like the hijinks don't really happen until like the last half hour of the film.
Ooh, really?
And yeah.
It moves on. It's not that it's not interesting.
Yeah.
But like when the shit hits the fan, it hits the fan real hard and real quick.
Okay.
So that's the general gist of the film. There is another character that I want to talk about, and that is
Mountain Girl.
Well, we should talk about Mountain Girl
or Sheriff Weiner.
No. So this character, I'm kind of being coy in this. The painting of Marva Munson's deceased husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
There's a nice oil painting of her husband.
Oh yeah.
And weirdly, the oil painting plays a fairly big character through the entire film because it keeps, so, like, pointing at him.
Because he's always kind of glaring. So this old black
lady,
uh-huh, yep,
lives in this house. Like, in my head.
Yep.
You know, it's not like this grand old, you know, Tudor mansion.
No.
Like, it's a Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, run down. But she's got a giant oil painting. Weren't those, like, super expensive?
I mean, she's probably well-to-do. I would guess.
Yeah, it's not like some like shitty beat up home. It's like, okay, a nice, yeah, home. They were a nice, okay, middle class family.
All,
yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah. And my guess would be that he probably did pretty well for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And because she doesn't work. She just hangs out at the house, goes, okay, to church, talks about, what's the college that she loves? Is it?
Oh, Ben, gosh.
It's like Ben or Bob Hoskins. That's not it. Bob Hoskins University. Hoskins. That's Mario. but there's some Christian college that she loves.
Of course.
Bob Jones University.
Bob Jones University. Yeah.
Bob Jones University.
Yeah. And she's got a cat named Pickles.
The cat is also a pretty big role in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause the cat, the film starts like how he like ingratiates himself to her is the cat gets out and he starts climbing the tree to get it for her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing where he knocks on the door. She opens the door to see who it is. The cat runs out. And then she immediately blames him for, mm-hmm, letting the cat out.
Yeah.
Cause
that makes sense.
Cause she's a sassy old lady.
Yep.
She also has so much time on her hands that she's the type to go to the police station and just file a report.
You let her cat out of her house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or she'll call the police to come get the cat.
Actually, I guess that very first opening scene is her going into the police station to complain to the sheriff that there was this guy listening to hippity hop music and that they said the N-word in it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And he was so loud.
She's that kind of person.
Yeah. And the sheriff is George Wallace. So funny.
Yeah.
Like he has a pretty small role, but like, dude, I love George Wallace. Yeah. He's great.
And so she's like, you know what they say in that music? And she just like throws it out there.
Really?
Just, yeah, emphatically. And she's real upset about it. And she goes, and I won't say it again. I'm not going to say it again. And then she immediately says it again. So it's just filled with like these quick little humorous quips.
Okay.
As far as the comedy in it goes. But the painting of her husband kind of acts as this weird conscience to her, because she's, again, she's very devout in her faith.
Yeah.
And she wants to do right by God and the Lord, but also wants to do right by her husband, who has been passed away for a long time. So, yeah, that's the gist. We are going to jump into spoilers with this. So, I mean, the movie came out in 2004. It's 20 years old.
Yeah, no, at this point, it's no longer a spoiler.
Yeah, but we are gonna jump into it. So, spoiler alert: everybody but the old lady dies.
Really?
Every single one of
them. Yeah, for a Coen Brothers movie, it has a pretty happy ending, though.
Yeah.
Because they kind of all deserve to die.
Yeah, none of the group is very good.
Got their comeuppance.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe except for the muscle. What's his nuts?
Lump.
Lump. Yeah, Lump probably doesn't deserve to die. He's just too dumb to be evil.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually... So, because essentially what happens first thing that happens is Gawain, which also, why is Marlon Wayne's character named Gawain? Like, from the Knights of the Round Table, like that Gawain.
Gawain.
And so he's the janitor. He gets fired at one point because in a great scene, there's a girl walking in the casino with just a big fat ass, and he's walking behind her just like, hey, baby, let me holler at you. Let me talk to you. And he gets fired.
Okay.
Oh, by also his boss, Stephen Root.
Yeah, Stephen Root is in
the greatest American character actor of all time.
In Office Space, he's the stapler guy.
Milton. Oh my God.
Yeah, Milton. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. An American treasure, Stephen Root.
Yes.
No great film can exist without him in it.
He's pretty awesome. He's pretty awesome. Yeah, but so that's his boss.
He gets fired and starts causing some conflict between Gawain and Garth. Oh, Garth Pancake, by the way. They just call him Pancake. The names in this movie are fucking ridiculous.
Garth Pancake is J.K. Simmons. Okay. So Marlon Wayans and J.K. Simmons are getting into an argument.
Okay.
Yeah, it causes some strife between them. Where were you going with this story?
I think I was trying to get to how they all die. Oh, so that's kind of like that. That's kind of like the first like trouble they have. They get back into the casino, but the friction starts building between them. At one point, J.K. Simmons blows his hand off.
Yep.
On accident.
Because he's having a safety meeting.
Of course, no. That is the appropriate time.
Yeah.
If you're going to blow a hand off. Yeah. It's Boondock Saints. You slam on the table and shoot the cat.
Well, they're working with C4, and he's like, it's totally inert before we do this stuff. No problem. Look, you can hit with a hammer. No problem. And he hits it, and boom, boom.
Oh, my God.
Blows his fucking finger off.
Wow.
And that's probably the first thing that happens, and then the cat... Mr. Pickles runs away with the finger. So he can't get it reattached.
Love that.
At all. And
So it was just a finger. It wasn't the whole hand.
Correct. It was his index finger. And so he continuously, J.K. Simmons' character, continuously from that point on goes, hey, do you think maybe like my share of this should be a little bit more? Right?
If this was a normal job, I would get like workers' comp.
Hazard pay.
Yeah, exactly.
Hazard pay.
And everybody's just like, no, fuck you. We're not in a workplace environment. We are miscreants. And so he's like, that's fine. That's fine. You know, just figured I'd throw out a test balloon.
A test balloon. That's a new one for me.
Yeah. And when all of these bad things start happening, so Tom Hanks' character has to keep the ruse going. So as to keep the old lady from really understanding what's happening in her in her basement.
Yeah.
So she's getting ready to go to a choir show that Tom Hanks paid for her to go to get her out of the house.
Okay.
And she's getting in the car and there's just the boom. So like you see the house and you see the dust just kind of like
resettle.
Yeah.
Nice.
And she's, of course, like, what the hell just happened? She didn't quite say that.
Yeah.
But he's like, what? Did you hear something? I don't think I heard anything.
No? Yeah, he's like, I didn't hear anything. She's like, didn't hear anything. And so she gets out and he goes, no. And he basically like forces her back in the cab and he goes, I will check it out. If it's the gas, I'll call the gas company. If it's the electric, I will take care of it. And then he just sprints into the house. And that's when you find out that he lost his finger and the cat ran away with the finger. So they dig this tunnel through the entire thing. And
like, how big is this tunnel? Are we talking like next door?
Like a crawl through tunnel.
Oh, as far as the long, the length?
The length.
It's a pretty
long
tunnel.
Are we talking
tunnel.
Like Shawshank? Like,
yeah, something, maybe not quite as long as that, but it is definitely long. They do a string of lights.
Okay.
To go through. And it's probably, I don't know, a 3 foot diameter.
Yeah.
Maybe something like that as far as its size. They have to get on their hands and knees and crawl through.
But still, that's a lot of dirt to dispose of.
And so the way that they disposed of the dirt was they basically waited, or they would wait till the old lady's not looking, and then they would just take garbage bags, and they used a hearse to traverse. They said that it was for their band, and they had instruments. None of them knew how to play an instrument. But so they would then take it to this bridge, this very specific bridge, where there was an island that was essentially the trash island.
Okay.
So everything would go trash-wise by boat to this island and be disposed of that way.
All right.
So they would essentially wait for the ferry taking the trash to the island to go under this bridge, and then they would drop it so that it would land in the trash heap.
So then it's gone. No one saw you drop off these bags of dirt.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yep. So they start doing that. So that's how they got rid of all the dirt without alerting the old lady.
Okay.
So another fun thing, J.K. Simmons, the demolitionist, Garth Pancakes, he has IBS. And so it becomes a running theme where, of course, whenever you don't want IBS to happen, it starts happening. Yeah. Right. Like, so they get into the vault area, and as soon as they get into the vault, he's like, I gotta go.
Yeah,
okay, so you didn't say
like,
ideas.
They're
you said
like,
IBS, irritable bowel syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, they're loading in like almost $2 million in trash bags, and he's just like, where's the men's room? And they're like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, there ain't no men's room, ladies' room. He's like, either one, I don't care. I gotta go now. And then he does, like, there's this hilarious, like, where Marlon Wayans is walking him to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And he's trying to say, it's like, it actually affects, like, over 2 million people. And it's really very serious. Most people don't like to talk about it. Me and Mountain Girl, who is, like, his girlfriend, who he tells about the whole scheme, he's not supposed to.
Yeah.
And, but he's like, we actually met at an IBS conference.
Bet you there's
IBS
not
plays
a whole
a,
lot of ass eating going on in that relationship.
Role.
Yeah. Yeah. So where it really starts to hit the fan is they successfully get all the money out. They get it all out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And what they did is they basically drilled through. So they drilled through the wall.
So was this like a concrete wall, a metal wall?
It was I would say
brick wall.
Yeah.
Brick
like
wall.
A brick wall.
Okay.
Yeah. So they drilled through it, and then they had Marlon Wayans' character basically patch it up before the next day because they did it in the middle of the night.
Okay. Okay, so they're waiting for a cash drop.
Yep.
So they don't want them to know that I've already got this hole. So as soon as the money goes in, they shut the door. They can get in, out.
Yep.
Before anyone knows.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Marlon Wayans seals up the wall and just walks out because he's the janitor. He's supposed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes
and
sense.
They specifically want it to seem like the money just disappeared with no explanation. So that was very big. One, to elude culpability so that there were like no possible suspects. And then also because Tom Hanks, the professor, is a bit full of himself because of his degrees. And so he wants.
Oh, so he actually has degrees. It's not just a bit he's playing.
He's a linguistics professor.
Well. Ish. They never say 100% if he does. You don't actually know if he does.
No, but
he's talking to the other crew, that's something he tells them. He's like always, it's not like he's playing a character with the old lady. He's always that guy. This like,
okay. So
this,
if
like,
he's playing a character, he's deep into that character.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think that it's, I don't think that he is a fake professor. I think that it's an actual thing because he never drops it through the entire film. He's always using synonym after synonym after synonym and throwing in 10 syllable words when a 2-syllable word will do.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. And he's always recanting his love for different poets.
And he fucking loves Poe. He loves Edgar Allan Poe.
Well, I mean, how do you not love Poe?
Right? Yeah. So they get all the money. They patch everything up. They're back under the basement looking at this giant pile of money. They're cheersing each other, having a sip. And then J.K. Simmons goes, you know, the demolition should have gone off. Because then the idea was that they blow up that the tunnel, essentially.
Okay.
So that dirt collapses at all.
Sure.
And now there's not even a pathway to...
Yeah.
To it. So it literally vanishes. But it doesn't blow up. And so Tom Hanks looks at his clock and he goes, oh, yeah, that time and considerably more has passed. And so J.K. Simmons, being the demolition man, goes back into the tunnel to see what happens. And then he sees the little timer, and it got stuck at 14 seconds. And so he goes, okay, all right. And so he takes his little screwdriver out, and he goes to unscrew it, and then he taps it. And when he taps it, it starts going beep, beep, and it starts counting down again.
Yeah.
And then he gets IBS.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so like a symptom shows up, and he makes this face just like, right? And so then he at first tries to like pull the wires out or to deactivate it.
Yeah.
And then he basically just makes the decision. Nope, screw it. And he just turns and he starts crawling as fast as he can through the tunnel. But he does not get.
Doesn't make it out.
He makes it out, but it's a thing where the force of the explosion shoots him out of the hole.
Oh, so he implants into the other
wall.
And
then he hits the money. Money goes flying up. Old lady's supposed to be at church. She ain't at church. She came home early to make tea. So she opens the door, sees a bunch of smoke, sees a bunch of cash flying around.
Uh-oh.
And so basically they're made at that point.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't know exactly what's going on, but then sure. She makes them tell, and Tom Hanks' character comes up with some bullshit story.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't smell right. And so then he's honest with her and is like, hey, look, he's like, look, we stole money for a casino. Casinos, they're evil.
They're sinful.
They're against God.
Yep. Sinful.
And guess he's like, who? She's like, it's stolen money. It ain't right. And he's like, well, who are we hurting? The evil casino company who stole it from people? Guess what? They're insured. And all those policy holders, it's at most going to cost them one penny. One penny. And guess what? We're all going to take half of our share and make a donation to charities. And we were thinking maybe we would give you a share to donate to that college, that Bob Jones college you love.
Oh, that college.
And she just keeps going, yeah. One penny. One penny.
Yep.
But then she looks up at her husband in the oil painting with this like stern demeanor. Just always kind of always glaring. And she's like, nope. So you boys can do one of two things. I'll tell the police and you can go to jail, or you can give the money back and come to church with me next Sunday.
Oh, no.
And Tom Hanks' character, like one of the funniest lines, he goes, and practice divine worship? like he's just disgusted at the idea of going to church, which is so funny to me. So, yeah, but she made up her mind. And the cool thing about the painting is the expression on the painting of her husband works for a number of different situations where something happens and it looks at the, and it goes to the painting and he looks upset or he looks disappointed. So the expression on the face really, really works well for a multitude of those.
Yeah.
And then they'll do things where after the house or after the explosion happens, it of course shakes the house and then it goes to the painting and the painting is crooked. And then his face has changed. It's like a holy shit type of face. So they kind of throw that in there a little bit, which is great. So yeah, they basically have been made. They're going to be forced to give the money back and practice divine worship, which they don't want to do.
No.
And so they make the decision, the old lady's got to die.
Oh, no. Yeah. Well. Yep.
So they pull out a broom and they...
They're going to do her with a broom?
Well,
they pull out a broom to draw straws.
Yep.
Oh.
And before they draw straws, once again, J.K. Simmons' character goes like, just floating this, you know, I blew my finger off and I just got blown out of that hole. I mean, some would say that I have already... Hold on, let me do a J.K. Simmons voice. Some would say I've already, paid my dues on this. Maybe I shouldn't have to. And everybody's like, nah, fuck you. All right. Just floating a balloon.
Floating a balloon.
Seeing how it would go. He had this quote where he would just go, it's real easy. Easiest thing in the world.
and it always goes wrong, obviously. Yeah.
Every single time that he says that.
Well, you can't say that and things go right.
The introduction of that character is he's training a dog for a commercial. And he's like the dog handler on the set of this commercial. And this little bulldog is running through a minefield of not actual, like, you know, it's all posed type of thing. And he goes and up to the bowl of food, and it's a dog food commercial. So he's running through this minefield with a canteen on his neck.
Sure.
Yeah, and he has a gas mask on, though.
Well, initially he doesn't have a gas mask on.
Okay, that's right.
And so he goes, easiest thing in the world. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a gas mask on him. That way, that's not going to fall off. It's a classic World War. Is it a World War One gas mask? World War II gas? One of them. One of the big ones.
Yeah.
And
he may have heard of them.
Yeah. Little things.
Little things.
And so he's talking to the director of the commercial, and the guy's like, how is the dog supposed to eat from the fucking bowl if he's wearing a gas mask? And he goes, I see your point. So I guess we'll just have to get the canteen back out. And then they look at the dog, and the dog is just...
Well, first he's like, is the dog going to be able to breathe? He's like, oh, yeah, he can breathe in that. No problem. And then they look, and the dog is on the ground.
Well, and then, the dog dies. And so he tries to give CPR to the dog.
How do you give CPR to a dog?
Really ugly, like.
Yeah, all right. It's not a pretty thing.
Yeah. So, what a great character. Yeah, so they draw straws, and Marlon Wayans is the one who draws the short straw.
Well, I mean, he's good at cleaning things up, right?
Yep. So he goes to kill her.
Well, he's also a black guy with a gun, so you'd think, like, he's always, like, pulling out his pistol. Well, sure. Think, like, he's the guy.
Right, yeah, that would make sense.
But then he goes up to kill her, and he has this flashback of his, because she's just sitting in a chair, like watching the fireplace, just kind of like mumbling to herself or something about hippity hop music or something, probably. And he has this like flashback of his mom sitting in a similar chair.
Okay.
And he's like, he just sees her, and then he's just like, she turns around and she's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, nothing. He goes back down. He's like, I can't do it. She reminds me of my mama.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. His exact quote, and this is his quote. I'm going to throw that out there. He goes, to you guys, she's just some old colored lady. That's his quote. That's not me. I'm not referring to her as that.
I thought you were about to drop an N-bomb.
I'm just throwing that out there. He goes, but to you, she's my mom. She just reminds me of my mom. And so he goes, somebody else has got to do it. And everybody was like, well, especially J.K. Simmons, because they've had beef through like most of the movie.
Sure.
And he goes, now, wait a second. You got to be a man. And he goes, if I had to be in the straw, then, and you pulled the straw, he goes, you got to take responsibility. And everybody's like, yeah, you should be the one to kill her. Because, of course,
nobody else
wants to kill her. And so they get into a tussle. They start, like, punching each other, grabbing each other, rolling around, and then a gunshot goes off. And Marlon Wayans dies. So he pulled out his gun at some point and then gets shot, like, in the stomach.
Oh.
And so they look at him and they're like, is he dead? And J.K. Simmons goes, let me check the carotid artery. Easiest thing in the world. Yep. And so he checks and he goes, yep, that's a negative. He's dead. and so then they take Marlon Wayans' character to where they've been disposing the dirt, and they drop the body into the trash.
Oh, my God. All right.
Onto the boat. Yep. So then it snowballs real quick. So from that, as they're coming back, J.K. Simmons decides to steal all the money because he feels like he's been wronged.
He's lost a finger.
He's been shot out of a hole. He's been forced to like pull straws to kill this old lady.
Yeah.
So he takes all the money.
No honor among thieves.
Yeah, he takes all the money and he's going. And he goes to his car where Mountain Girl is. And they realize that he's taken the money. So the general, the Asian man,
yeah,
who's been the silent type, just sprints after him. And he has a situation where IBS hits again. And he's like, opened the trunk of the car. He's trying to put the money in. And Mountain Lady is Mountain Girl. Sorry.
Mountain Girl, yeah.
Mountain Girl. If you call her something else, he gets upset. Mountain Girl goes, is it the IBS again, dear? And then you realize it's not the IBS. He's got a garrote around his neck.
Oh.
And he is getting murdered. So then it cuts. And they're back at the bridge. And so, so then you see them holding feet and they drop.
I was going to say, is it one set of feet or two?
Well, so it's one set of feet and they drop. And as soon as they let go, you hear Lump go, all right, we got to get Garth. And so they killed Mountain Girl and okay. they killed J.K. Pancake. Simmons. Yeah, Pancake. And so they drop him in. And so then it cuts back to the basement.
Okay.
And now there's only three of them. There's the general, there's the professor, and then
Lump.
It's those three. And so they pull straws again, and the general gets the short straw this time. And the professor's like, this is the man for the job.
Yeah.
Which also, okay, so this is like a huge issue I have with this movie.
Okay.
This guy is very, and he's like fine. He's like sneaking into a room with piano wire once sure. again. He was so quick to kill Pancake's character. Why, like, I didn't like that part that it's like, oh, he's so ready to kill and can so easily kill somebody. It's like, why wouldn't if he just volunteered to do it in the first place? To kill the old lady. Like, I get narrative, like, as far as to keep the story going, like, they, you know what I mean, it had to, but I was like, it just didn't make sense for that character to be so willing and ready to kill. Mm-hmm. And then when it came time to kill the old lady at the beginning, everybody's like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I would say that the retort that I would have to that is that it was a heist job and that there was not initially going to be any type of murder involved.
Yeah.
And so when they're planning out the murder, nobody wants to elevate their role to such a degree where like, okay, I'm stealing money from a casino that is insured. That's one thing to murdering an innocent old lady.
Yeah.
That's a step up, right? And then when it comes to J.K. Simmons, he's stolen the money. He's wronged them 100%.
Yeah.
So
that's where I was thinking.
So with that, it's like, nope, you're not doing that, buddy. That's my $1.6 million.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's my guess. And that's just conjecture on my end.
Well, you know, that all made sense. The way the character was, it made sense that he didn't care about killing these people.
Okay.
You know what I mean? He would have killed them. Just a small nitpicky point, honestly.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah. So he goes to kill the old lady.
Okay.
He waits for nighttime. She's sleeping. Her dentures are out. She's just sleeping with the bitter beer face in her bed. And he's got the garrote and he's getting ready to put it on. And as soon as he does, or as soon as he's getting ready, the clock strikes, I'm guessing 12, because
why wouldn't it be?
Because she's such an old lady that she has a cuckoo clock.
Yeah.
And so literally the bird comes out, starts cuckooing. There's the for 12 o'clock and
real old school grandfather clock.
Exactly. And so a common theme, which we haven't touched upon yet, is that she does not allow smoking in her house. And the general, always smoking.
Okay.
And so every time that she comes down, he's able to take the cigarette and tuck it in his tongue.
Oh.
And tuck
so
it
he
back.
Just like opens his mouth and goes like, nope.
Yeah.
Yep. And just holds it there. Like stares her down until she leaves and then he'll just whoop and get the cigarette back out.
Yeah.
So before he goes into the old lady's room, he does that so that, I guess, I don't know, so that the smoke doesn't wake her up or something
sure,
like that.
Yeah.
So he does that. But then when the bell rings, it startles him and he gasps and he chokes on the cigarette.
Oh,
and then he looks over and there's a tiny little like figurine of Jesus on the nightstand. And so Jesus is staring right at him. And then he's like, he goes to get a drink. So he sees the water cup by her bed.
Oh, it's filled with dentures.
Goes and drinks it. It's filled with dentures. He gets grossed out. So he runs out of the room because now he's choking. And,
yeah.
And then he trips, falls down the steps.
Because of the cat. The cat jumps in front of the cat.
Damn pickles.
Yep. So breaks his neck. Dead. Cut to the bridge.
Lump and the professor. And this is the first time the professor actually had to throw a body off.
Okay.
Yeah, because he's been really big about keeping his hands clean.
He does nothing the entire movie. Like, yeah. He's sitting there. He's the plan guy. He's the one who got them all together. And basically through a Craigslist ad. Like, it was, it takes place, like, it kind of feels like it takes place in the 90s, maybe, or like a little bit before when it's like came out in 2004. But in any case, like, yeah, he basically just, it's not like this group of mm-hmm. known people. It's like people who answered a help wanted ad.
Sure.
And yeah, so he does nothing the whole film. You know, he's just like basically using his superior intellect to get these guys to, you know, orchestrate his plan.
I came up with the idea. I'm the one that got the house.
So now he has to get his hands dirty this time. Sure. And then, so Lump is like, Professor, I've been thinking, maybe we shouldn't kill this old lady. Now that like four people have died, now he's like, you know what? Even for me, this has become a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just go to church.
Yeah. And so the professor's like, no, no, no. Here's the gun. And he gives him Marlon Wayne's gun. And he's like, you're the muscle. This is your job now. I'm the brains. You're the muscle. And he's like, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. And he goes, if you don't do it, I'm going to be forced to, essentially. And he goes,
I don't think I can let you do that, Professor.
And so then the professor is super appalled. And he pulls out Lump pulls the gun. Jeez, he's fucking named like a dwarf. Lump pulls the gun on him.
Well, he's named like Chewbacca's son.
That's true.
Lumpy Baca.
Lumpy Baca is...
Lumpy Baca.
That's Chewbacca's son's name is Lumpy.
Lumpy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Or wait, or is that his dad's name? It's Lumpy and Itchy. I think Itchy is his dad. Lumpy
is
his son.
Okay.
Yeah. They both have a face that will strike fear into you. Mm. Yeah, so he pulls the gun on the professor. He pulls the trigger, but the gun jams. But Lumpy doesn't understand the gun jamming because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
So he looks down the barrel.
Of course
he does.
He's
like, there's no bullets. And then he pulls the trigger again.
Oh,
and
no.
He shoots himself in the face.
Oh, man.
And thanks to gravity, he falls off the bridge.
Yeah.
And into a trash heap of a ferry that's going by.
Yeah.
And so the thing that really struck out to me with this is the professor had zero reaction during any of this. Like,
really?
So something's going on with the professor. He's a little bit cold-blooded.
You think he's one, like a psychopath or something?
I don't know.
No empathy?
Because what he starts doing then is he starts reciting poetry just right off the cuff.
He's excited because he's like, oh, I'm just getting all the money now.
Okay, yeah.
So, as he's reciting poetry on this bridge, these birds like caw and flap. And then he sees a raven and he gets really excited.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he gets a real boner
obviously. Well, obviously, if he's that into Poe, obviously, yeah.
So the raven lands on, I guess it's a gargoyle statue. It's something like that. It's basically a gargoyle statue. And when the raven lands on it, you see that the gargoyle statue is cracked and the weight of the raven causes the head of the gargoyle statue to fall off and hits the professor right in the head.
Yeah.
And then he also falls off the bridge.
Falls off the bridge and dies. So all of the people have died. Meanwhile, there's a $1.6 million in the basement of this old lady's house.
So the guy tried to steal it. He's throwing it in the car.
Yep.
So they didn't leave it in the car. They then put it back in the basement?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They brought it back to the house. Yeah.
Well, and they can't just run away with the money because she knows all their names.
They didn't come up with aliases?
No.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're not very smart, are they?
Which I think was intentional for just this type of scenario.
Yeah.
Because okay. that's why the professor is like, you have to kill her. She knows all your names.
Ah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why he's excited, because like, I don't think he's a professor. I think he's a full-on con man.
Okay.
I think he is a smart guy. I think the character is real, like that he's into all that shit and that he's very smart and well-read.
Sure.
But I don't think he's actually a professor. I think all of that was intentional. Like these very, that's when the last guy dies, he's like, oh, fucking sweet.
Yeah.
Now I can just go take that money, get out of here. I don't have to worry about any of this.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So she goes to the police the next day.
Of course.
She figures that all the people, like they basically just couldn't handle it, left the money there. Yeah. And left. All right. So she goes to the police the next day to file a report.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, ma'am, could you just come back at a different time, please? We're dealing with this missing casino money.
Yeah. And the sheriff thinks she's like old with dementia.
Okay.
Because of an earlier scene where she's kind of like acting wacky and she's like, hey, you should meet my friend. But Tom Hanks' character is hid because he is.
He doesn't want to be seen by
the sheriff. Yeah, because obviously. He doesn't want to see the sheriff. So she's trying to introduce the sheriff to her friend, and the sheriff's like, oh, she's gone batty. Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, and I guess, you know, the way you described it, she's in the police station filing reports all the time. She's probably a nuisance. Yeah. And they're like, we can't deal with you right now.
I'm a small town sheriff and almost $2 million just went missing.
Yes.
I don't have time. And she's like, well, it's in my basement. And she's like, really? And she's like, yeah, you know that friend I was telling you about? Him and his friends actually were there to rob that boat. And he's like, okay, sure, whatever. Yeah. And she's like, well, what do you want me to do with it? And he's like, tell you what, why don't you keep it? And she's like, wait, really? Yeah, why don't you keep it? And she's like, one penny. Okay. and then the end of the movie is her donating all of the money to this Christian university.
I was just going to say, she donated it all, didn't she? Yeah, yep, that makes sense.
Well, actually, it ends with the kitty cat with the finger. He goes to the bridge and drops the finger off onto the barge.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's the plot of the movie. That's the movie. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So with all that said, Thor, what'd you think?
I liked this a lot. It was fun. Not my top Coen Brothers movie.
Okay.
But I definitely liked it. I love J.K. Simmons as, once again, I know him and Marlon Wayans get into it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he's kind of like just a dork.
Yeah.
He's just kind of this like old dork who's like happy-go-lucky and like very sweet, which is typically J.K. Simmons is in like these kind of like gruff roles.
Sure.
And so it was a real like different role for him.
It was a little bit different.
I like Tom Hanks' character of like a sneaky, sneaky but brilliant like Southern gentleman.
Yeah.
I would say this is my second favorite Tom Hanks film.
Okay.
Yep. Road to Perdition is my favorite.
Is The Castaway your first?
No, okay. The Castaway is not my first. Yeah, Road to Perdition is my favorite. And we'll get to Road to Perdition eventually. Have you seen Road to Perdition, Carl?
I have not.
Dude, it is a different role for Tom Hanks.
How can it not just be Forrest Gump?
Huh?
How can it not just be Forrest Gump?
Because Road to Perdition is better than Forrest Gump.
Big exists.
Forrest Gump is, well, Big is really good, but Forrest Gump is like the best film ever made. Okay, maybe not ever made, but I mean, it's like the most classic film ever made.
It's in the top 50.
Right? Sure, I could see the top 50.
I'm not willing to go out and say it's the best thing ever made.
No, it's not the best film ever made. That was unfair for me to say, but
it was good, but it was.
It's a perfect movie.
It might be a perfect movie. It might be, but it's not as good as Road to Perdition. It's not. Okay, here's the thing. You like Tank Girl.
Yes.
All right. And I like, I don't know, what was my Tank Girl? I forget what the movie was. The Street Fighter animated movie.
Okay, right? Fair enough. Yeah.
Like, those are perfect movies to us, but it doesn't mean that they're like high quality cinema. Now, I do think that Forrest Gump is actually pretty good cinema. Especially, that's the heyday of Tom Hanks. That's like Apollo 13 era. That's
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. But with that being said, Tom Hanks in the 1920s as a mob gangster
It is better than a special needs guy banging a girl with AIDS.
Yes, I think
that's
so.
That's
she didn't
the
have
greatest
AIDS yet.
Well, I mean,
she got AIDS after.
Maybe. Well, probably. There may have been some overlap.
Well, Forrest Gump doesn't have AIDS. At least
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And he definitely would if.
Oh yeah.
Maybe.
Jen A.
Oh yeah, and does Little Forrest have AIDS then?
Possibly.
Well, because it gets in your bloodstream.
Right.
The bloodstream is shared between the fetus and the mother.
Yeah. Does Little Forrest have AIDS?
Oh, no. Okay. No.
Okay.
No.
No?
She was fucking around on Forrest.
Well, yeah, that is
she
true.
She had...
Well,
no,
she,
no, no,
it was
no,
just like
after,
a one-night stand with Forrest. Yeah, yeah.
After. So she had the baby, right? And then she started fucking around and then got AIDS.
She was already a junkie before she had sex with Forrest, though. Is what I'm saying. Like, it could have been...
Yeah, but
there
then,
could have been some overlap.
Like Mike is saying, then Little Forrest would have AIDS.
Yeah, maybe he did.
Does Little Forrest have... Okay.
Maybe he did.
So, also... Man, what is that twist? Okay.
Seriously, if, what...
Did if I just end like Shyamalan Forrest
yeah,
Gump for
if
you?
If you guys know if Little Forrest from Forrest Gump has AIDS... I want you to get a hold of us.
I need to know.
Yeah, we need to know. It's something, honestly, that I have never thought of.
No, that it, never... I always thought she died of cancer.
What?
Yes!
What?
Yes!
No. I'm pretty sure that... Well, now I don't know. I was going to say I'm pretty sure that she died of AIDS, but I was literally...
I don't think they specifically say, but I mean, like...
I honestly thought sure she died of cancer.
Yeah, Freddie Mercury died of cancer.
Yeah. Well, back then it was gay cancer, right?
That's yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So, okay. All right. I haven't seen Forrest Gump in a long time, so yeah. It's all conjecture on my end.
I'm going to have to go back and watch.
Well, but for me, now, canon, Little Forrest has AIDS. All right.
Denise has never seen it, and I keep telling her she has to watch it, so now I'm going to have to actually sit down and watch this with her to find out if Little Forrest has AIDS.
Yeah. Also, if she is messing around with other people... As well as Forrest, which we know that she is.
Yeah.
Is Forrest Jr. actually Forrest's kid? Because I always took it as, yes, this is actually Forrest's son. But now I'm thinking there's a possibility that it might not be.
You don't think there, yeah, the possibility never crossed your mind that maybe she's like, hey, this mentally disabled dude who's been in love with me since we were 8 years old, who is a millionaire, and who, what's he going to spend it on? Lollipops and hats with fucking propellers on them? Yeah. Like, maybe.
I want to see the good in people, Thor.
Damn it, Thor, you're ruining this movie for me.
See, you didn't know it had so many layers to it, did you?
No. Yeah.
Well, I'm still going to say that Road to Perdition is better than Forrest Gump. All right? That's my hot take. I don't even know where...
Yeah, but is it as good as Casino?
It's a very different film for Forrest Gump. I'm sorry. Jeez. It's a very different film for Tom Hanks. It, like, Road to Perdition is not funny.
Yeah.
It's very serious. It's very dark. And it's very sad. Like, there's nothing good and happy about that movie at all.
And this is your favorite movie?
It's my favorite Tom Hanks film.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my favorite Tom Hanks film because he so often plays these roles where he's kind of like the lovable character in the film.
Yeah.
And so to see him do something so offbeat, it's very, very different for him to do. It's like the number 23 for Jim Carrey. Where it just
God, what a piece of shit.
I mean, it's not a great movie.
I didn't even watch it.
It's not great. But what it is it's something off the beaten path of what that actor normally does.
Sure.
That's what Road to Perdition is. Anyway, Thor, if you wanted to rate this film, I don't know, how much does this movie make you want to listen to hibbity hop music on a scale of 1 to 1.6 million.
Okay. Probably like a... So on a scale of 1 to 1.6?
Million.
Okay, yeah. So I think I'm going to go like 1.5 4 or 5 million.
Okay.
1.5 million, maybe.
1.5?
1.45, 1.5. Yeah, somewhere around there. Like I said, not my favorite Coen Brothers film. I don't love the Lump character. I don't like. I love Marlon Wayans. He's so funny, but like some of the characters just felt too over the top.
They were all caricatures of archetypes.
But it was a lot of fun. There wasn't a moment where I was like, I didn't like what I was watching.
Sure.
I also really liked that it had a happy ending, because Coen Brothers typically are like don't have like such a like neatly tied up, just a genuinely like uplifting happy ending.
Okay.
Coen Brother films are usually set so that at the beginning of the film, nothing has happened. And at the end of the film, it's almost as if nothing has happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this lady does get really happy and is able to donate to a college of her choosing. Yeah.
So I thought it was like a nice light note for it to end on for as silly as it was. Like it was very silly, which I appreciated. So, yeah, I like it. I think I'm going to go 1.5 million.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So now, Carl, I'm going to throw this out here. I know that you haven't seen the film, but based on our review of the film, what do you think you would rate The Lady Killers on a scale of 1 to 1.6 million?
I have to say, this is a very strange scale to be rating things off of, but you can get very great.
You've obviously never listened to our show.
Never. But you're very granular here. 1 to 1.6 million.
Uh-huh. You can get as nitty gritty as you want. You can get 1,276,000,
yeah,
you know, 422.23 if you want.
Yeah, I have to say I enjoy the fact that you can get very definitive on this scale. That's great.
That's what we're all about here at the Get Rick podcast.
Yeah, I'm gonna go 952,000.
Okay, that's a solid
number.
That's
less than 1 million, which the scale is 1 to 1.6 million.
Yeah, 1 as in the number 1.
No.
2.
Oh, was it a scale of 1 to... I thought it was a scale of 1 million to 1.6
million. Oh, no, 1.
Oh, I'm stupid.
To 1.6.
Okay, well, I'm going to revise...
Does that change your answer?
I'm going to revise my answer to
okay.
like a 1.3 million then.
Okay.
Still very high.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's still pretty high.
Yeah.
Like, no, this sounds like a movie that I would enjoy, right? Like, I would... If it was on, and I would probably sit down and watch it, right?
Sure.
But I'm not sure if I was sitting there flipping through Netflix or something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'd click on it.
Okay.
Right? Not without it like popping up and showing me a short portion of it.
Honestly, yeah, no. This is one of those films, I remember seeing the preview for this when it came out.
No, like, now that you guys have described it, I remember the commercials.
And same thing, this is one that... I don't recall having any interest in seeing it. And same thing. If I was just scrolling on Netflix and I saw it, I'd be like, eh.
Eh.
Yeah. That I think that. And I think it's a great, this is definitely a hidden gem.
Yeah.
I don't think this is certainly not one of the biggest Coen Brother movies.
Definitely not.
Not one of the biggest Tom Hanks movies.
Definitely not.
So I think this one's definitely a hidden gem.
Yeah. It's a good one.
Sidetrack real quick. Which one was the one with the dad from Roseanne who was the devil?
So are you thinking of the movie Fallen with Denzel Washington?
No.
Are you thinking of Barton Fink then? Where
I am thinking of Barton Fink.
With John Turturro.
Yeah.
And that's Barton Fink.
Okay.
And he ends up setting the whole apartment on fire.
Yes.
Yep.
That's exactly. Yes.
Yeah. It's Barton Fink. Awesome movie.
Had to get my Coen Brothers movie straight.
Yeah. Awesome movie. Barton Fink is a writer and he goes to a hotel because he has writer's block and he's trying to write his next book. And one of the people in the hotel is John Goodman. Everybody knows I love John Goodman. Yes. It just kind of goes from there.
Yeah. It was a really good movie.
Yeah. At first I wasn't sure if you were thinking of the movie Fallen with Denzel Washington, which is it's a mystery film with a murderer who gets put on death row, and then after he dies, Denzel is the lead detective who's been tracking him down.
Sure.
All right. And then after he gets murdered on death row, murders start happening afterwards that are exactly the MO of what this deceased murderer has done.
So he's trying to figure out, is it a copycat or is it
the
wrong guy?
But there are things that are happening that they never release to the public.
Oh.
So... It turns out, do you care if I spoil it for you?
No.
Okay. It turns out that it's a demon.
Ooh.
And so the demon, it wasn't necessarily the guy who was the serial killer.
Yeah.
He was possessed with a demon.
Gotcha. So the demon just jumped bodies.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And so John Goodman is involved in that too. Yeah. All right, folks. So
you didn't rate it.
Well, I recommended it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he obviously likes it.
Yeah, okay. I do obviously like it. I would put it in the 1.5, 1.57 category.
Oh wow! It's not way up there.
Yeah, it's not my favorite Coen Brother film, I don't think, but it's up there.
Yeah,
it might be like my second favorite.
Huh.
Yeah. Fargo, I think, is my favorite. Maybe this one's my second favorite. Maybe Burn After Reading is my second favorite. But, yeah.
Solid choices.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at with it. But, okay, so yeah, crew, there you have it. Anywhere from, what was your score, Carl? 953,000?
952.
952,000 to 1.3 million out of 1.6 million. You heard it here first. Crew, I want to know what you think about this film, especially if you're from the Mississippi area, because we do have some listeners from Mississippi, just so you know.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
That is cool.
Get at us. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Threads for some reason. And you can also just send us an email at getrecpod@gmail.com. Thor, how do we spell that?
That's GITRECDPOD@gmail.com.
All right. Carl, I never spell it correctly. Ever.
I heard him say it and it went in one ear and out the other. I still couldn't spell it now.
Yeah, it's, I don't know how he does it.
I would have to like re-listen to that point like four times writing it down. Wait, what did he say?
You could also just look at the name of the podcast too, folks. Yeah.
That is a possibility. Yeah, you are listening. If you're listening to us, you can get a hold of us. So with that being said, Thor, next week, what are we getting into?
I'll give you a choice because, you know, choices. I don't know if you're going to have time for one of them. So we can either do a movie or an 8-episode series.
Ooh.
TV, like one season of a TV series.
You know what? Give me the season. I'm ready for it. It's been a little bit since we've done a show.
This is a brand new one, too.
Ooh, a brand new
one. It just came out on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
And it's called Chaos. K-A-O-S.
Okay.
It stars Jeff Goldblum as Zeus, the god of thunder.
What? What? Okay.
Okay. It is a telling of so it's like Greek mythology, but imagine modern day. So the gods are still around. Yeah, and they're like the real god. And so it is following the story of Zeus, Dionysus, Hera, Poseidon, Hades, and then Orpheus and Eurydice.
Okay.
So a lot of it is like actually kind of retelling parts of Greek mythology.
Sure.
As well as it's like adding new stuff to it, and it's in a modern setting. It's fucking really interesting, and it's really cool.
Okay. That's all right. Cool. Yeah. I'm
intrigued.
Like
I said, Jeff Goldblum is one of the main characters. He plays Zeus. And it's fucking incredible.
Okay, so it's called Chaos?
Yeah, it's called Chaos, K-A-O-S. And basically the premise of it is there is a, what's the word I'm looking for? There's
Tidal
a
wave.
Prophecy.
Oh, okay.
There's is that what they give them? The fates? They give everybody's given like a prophecy.
Sure.
And so basically the prophecy is like that the gods will fall.
Okay.
So there are multiple people playing roles unknowingly that are going to bring the downfall of Mount Olympus, basically.
So it's a Ragnarok sort of situation.
Not exactly. It's really tough to explain without kind of like giving stuff away.
Okay.
Well, like I said, eight episodes. Don't do that. It's
Netflix.
Worth a watch. Yeah, it's fun.
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. I will give you, it's not going to give you closure. There's going to be more seasons, hopefully.
Okay.
I don't know if it's been greenlit yet. Yeah. I hope it does.
Fingers crossed.
And I hope we don't have a situation where we watch this and then like it just never gets finished. But I think it's worth a watch.
It's the worst.
Yeah. All right. So next week we're going to be getting into Chaos on Netflix. It's a short series with Jeff Goldblum.
Sorry, that was my remote control butt plug.
How dare you bring that to this establishment of the Lord.
Dank basement.
Dank. It is an office space, Thor.
I'm not sure if I could ever sit in that chair again now knowing that.
Yeah. So next week, watch Chaos, come back, and then discuss it with us to hear our thoughts and Carl. Oh, wait.
Yeah, no, that's what I was about to get to.
Carl,
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
No, this is awesome. Thanks for having me, guys. I enjoyed this a lot.
Weird choice to come in full blackface, but I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, this is an audio-only podcast, but...
I was kind of hoping for some TV cameras, but it was either that or I dressed in my gay frog outfit, and I couldn't get into it. I put on a little too much weight.
No, next time you should come on again, but next time recommend us something.
Oh yeah.
Music, 100%. Movie, television, whatever you want.
I can definitely do that with you.
Yeah, we would love that. We would love that. All right, so crew, next week, Chaos on Netflix, watch it and then come back and listen to us talk about it, join in the conversation, send us a recommendation. As always, folks.
Nope.
Until next time, folks.
As always.
You get wrecked out there.
Stay wrecked. You can't ever do that.
I can't ever do the ending correctly. I don't know why. I fail every
distracted
time.
Distracted by all the blackface.
That's it,
that is the blackface.
You know, I wish I could say that, but this is the first time.